oh, the, remember the mixtape we made? It's like 25 of our favorite songs. Oh, okay, listen, take the tape cassette out. Yeah, take it out. And snap it in two. All right, see how big that is now? That's what you'll listen to music on. It'll be that big. You'll listen to music on it digitally. Wow, how many songs does it hold? Every song you've ever heard or will ever hear or will ever be written, you can put on that thing.
If you're old enough, you remember that there was a time when we didn't walk around listening to music on our iPods. We listened to music on a device called the Walkman. And if you're too young to remember the Walkman, we thank you for helping us attract that coveted 18 to 34-year-old demographic. Please recommend Beta to all of your fellow 18 to 34-year-olds. Rebecca Tuhus de Brau was born in 1978, the year before the Walkman debuted. Even though she was just a toddler during the Walkman's early years, she's gone on to write a book called Personal Stereo. We're going to go old school analog with this one. This is Beta after all. I've got my Walkman here. Here we go. Just get the cassette in there. Close the top. Press play. Here goes.
I had very fond memories of listening to a Walkman when I was a kid, a teenager. And that was the main impetus when I found out about this series, of which it is a part, the Object Lessons series. I just immediately thought Walkman. It just came to me. And then when I started to think about it more and research it more, I realized that it was an even richer subject than I had originally realized, because, as I say in the book, the Walkman was arguably the first mass personal device. It was the first time people were carrying a device around with them in public that provided them with their own personal form of entertainment. You can argue there was the transistor radio, but this was more individualized and immersive. So I started to see it as the ancestor of our current personal devices and started to learn about the ways that it had influenced and changed public space at the time that it was introduced in the early 80s.
Sony introduces the only cassette player as small as a cassette case, the incredible sounding Super Walkman.
So that I found really fascinating, because the ways that we use personal devices today, I think, is such a salient feature of public space and social life. I loved listening to it when I took walks. I used to ride a lot of buses, and I would just put on my headphones and kind of slip away and daydream. So I have memories of it being a really magical experience.
Of course, there was also, in addition to the magical transporting experience that you would have when listening to the Walkman, there are also the dreaded technical difficulties that were part of the Walkman listening experience. And you have a great paragraph early in the book about the technical glitches. Would you mind reading that for us?
Sure. So just for context, in the previous paragraph, I'm just kind of rhapsodizing about the 90s and my Walkman and my fond memories. So this paragraph starts, "Less fond, but still kind of endearing, are my memories of technological glitches. There was the dread that gripped me when the music started to slow, first almost imperceptibly, so I could cling to the hope that my fear was paranoia. But then the voices would stretch and deepen.
Madonna would become a baritone.
This meant my batteries were running out, and I would have to endure the rest of my journey without a soundtrack. When the ribbon got caught and mangled in the player, I had to try to extricate it, smooth it out, and stick my finger in one of the holes in the cassette to roll it back up.
So who invented the Walkman?
Sony came out with it in 1979. And there are a bunch of different stories about how they came up with the idea. But basically, they were the ones who brought it to the world.
Yeah, and it was two guys in particular, right? Akio Morita and Masaru Ibuka, is that right?
Yeah, they were the co-founders of Sony. Nobody at the company thought it was a good idea. They thought it would be a complete flop.
Why?
Because, first of all, it just wasn't done. People just didn't listen to headphones in public at the time. It just looked really weird.
I guess they thought that it was kind of antisocial to mm-hmm. go around listening to music that no one else could hear.
There was a concern that Sony employees doubted anyone would want a tape player that wasn't able to record. Wasn't that also a reason why there wasn't much enthusiasm?
Yeah, because at the time it was called a tape recorder, so that was a really integral part of its function. And in order to make it small enough to be the kind of portable device that they wanted it to be, they had to remove the recording function. So that just seemed preposterous to them at the time because they were tape recorder engineers. So they thought a tape recorder that doesn't record, that's a deficient product.
Yeah, because that's going against the way technological progress usually works, right?
Usually
right. a device will add functions
right.
rather than
take subtract.
One away.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the Walkman debuted in July of 1979. How was it received?
It was rapturous. People almost immediately, they just loved it for some of the reasons I've already mentioned, just this kind of unprecedented, intimate experience of listening to music right next to your ears and being able to move through a landscape, through a city at the same time. They compared it to cinema, to the experience of either watching a movie or being in one or both. They compared it to drugs. A lot of people talked about how intoxicating it was. It was a big sensation.
And one of the reasons you point out that people often compared it to cinema was that film was the first medium to introduce this idea of non-diegetic sound. Can you
right.
talk about what non-diegetic sound is and how that applies to using a Walkman?
Yeah, so in a movie, there's the sounds that correspond to what's actually happening on screen, like footsteps or speaking, or if the characters are actually listening to music, it could be music. But then there's the soundtrack, the music that the audience hears, but the characters are not supposed to hear. And that latter kind is called non-diegetic. So if you're walking down a city street and you alone are hearing music as you watch this scene unfold, that kind of replicates the experience of watching a movie.
As you point out, people couldn't talk about the Walkman without talking about its louder, larger predecessor, the boombox, which was also known as the boogie box or the ghetto blaster. How did the arrival of the Walkman change public conversation about the boombox?
Since the boombox had just fairly recently achieved some popularity and some people really loved it, it was kind of festive. One term that I came across was a sonic campfire.
Mm.
You know, someone would bring a boombox to the park and people would gather around and basically have a party. But of course, not everyone felt that way. And when people would blast their music on the subways, a lot of people found it pretty annoying. So the Walkman was frequently compared to the boombox and it was seen as more courteous because you weren't imposing your choice of music on everyone around you. But it was also the fact that when you listened to the Walkman, you were having this private experience in public space and you were kind of withdrawn into yourself. That was also unsettling to a lot of people.
And I think somebody in early news coverage, a man on the street that was quoted by a reporter, called the Walkman the thinking man's box. And you, as you mentioned there, there's this contrast emerging between the two approaches. You've got this more social and gregarious but also intrusive approach that the boombox represents, and then you've got this more polite, private approach, which people using a Walkman are, and also withdrawn. And so one's more confrontational and in some cases political, and the other is more inward-looking and kind of apolitical. So it creates a very different influence on public space and civic life.
Yeah.
The Walkman wasn't just a portable listening device that changed when and where we listened to music. You argue that it was a symbol of the 1980s. Can you explain that?
I found it fascinating that the Walkman could play these different roles. For teenagers, it was seen as just a way of being kind of lazy and self-indulgent. And for yuppies, it was seen as a way of being very energetic and goal-oriented and self-improving.
Rebecca Tuhus-Dubrow is the author of Personal Stereo. Send us your favorite mixtape or playlist to beta@wpr.org.
She was a Walkman girl in a Walkman world. She had a private symphony inside of a cranial lung. And that gum she chewed fast to think she'd move. She had a pink on a spree and the mind of a wild geranium.
Does it for this edition of Beta. If you want to hit rewind on this episode or binge on past episodes, subscribe to the Beta podcast via iTunes or wherever you catch your favorite pods. You can keep up with us during the week online at wpr.org/beta or on Twitter at @WPRBeta. Beta is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Red Meat Productions.
You don't sell the steak, you sell the sizzle.
Our technical director and music director is Steve Gotcher.
Because you drove a Hyundai to get here tonight. I drove an $80,000 BMW. That's my name.
Our executive producer is Adam Friedrich.
I can't hate him. He is so transparent in his self-interest that I kind of respect him.
And thanks to you, our alphas. Until next week, I'm Doug Gordon.
First of all, great show today. You were terrific. Your big mouth was a revelation.